In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tide on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip-hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
It is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family. So I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money, and consequently, that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you're concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. Please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin. As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, love, and reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James D. and D. Shay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear. This is James T. DeShea, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock West Coast Time. This is the platform where your voice can be heard loud and clear. Today is Father's Day, and I have to say, as a father, sometimes I think it's not given as much attention as it should be, and that even fathers need to spend some time committing themselves to the idea of what it is truly to be a good father. You know, I've said many times on this show that, you know, I've heard that people say, you know, you don't get to select your family, but you get to select your friends. But I can honestly say that my father was both a family member and a friend. And I felt like he was truly committed to my life and the dreams that I had for my future. He was truly a guiding light to my existence. And he's given me the traits that I need to be a guiding light to the future of my daughter. And my commitment and dedication to my daughter does not end at adulthood. I am as committed to her now as I was when she was a child. I'm committed to making sure that her life is smooth and without a whole lot of drama. I want to be there for her, no matter what the situation. And we want to encourage these young new fathers that they have to take on this challenge like they've taken on no other challenge in their lives. Because there is no greater challenge than that of being a father. We need to recognize that our role in our children's life is just as important as their mothers. And fathers should not look to take a back seat in the raising of their children. We're going to take a short break and continue, come back and continue our conversation. And we just want to respect and show respect for fatherhood and allow people to know how we value our fathers and how we value the role fathers play in our society. We'll be back after this short break.
Hello, I'm the music major. This is my man Jayon Gray. He got a question to ask you. Talk to him, Jay.
Is there anybody in love?
Direction.
We need to recognize that our children desperately need what our fathers bring to the table. We have to be prepared and ready to give guidance to our children, to display the kind of leadership in our home that allows them to be leaders once they leave our home. We have to make sure that we're exemplifying the traits needed to be a good citizen. And I can say to you that I truly believe my father gave me those tools that I needed to be the man that I have become today and to respect what life truly means and to make my breathing have value. As men, we have to make our breathing have value, and it has to make the difference in the lives of those who are around us. How are you doing this evening, Larry?
I'm doing great, and yourself?
I'm doing fine, Larry, and I want to say Happy Father's Day to you. And I hope that you've been treated well.
Yeah,
Larry, what does being a father truly mean to you?
Well, DJ Adiche, prior to about years ago, that question was would be kind of perplexing because initially my father was not very active or engaged in our lives during the time of divorce and breakup. So I did not have the clear understanding of exemplifying what a father is, because I believe in order to be a father, you have to see that modeled out. And unfortunately, a portion of my life, I did not see that until I came into someone who became a father figure to me and began to live out that role and giving me a true meaning of what it actually means to be a father and the value of that. And that was during the time of growing up as a later in my teens, late teens, that I came into contact with C.R. Smith, who became the epitome to me of what a father really is. And so I could say to me, a father is an individual who is engaged in the lives of their children. They are the bedrock, are the foundational premise of the family. In fact, father comes from family, the word family, which indicates foundation. So they're the platform by which every aspect of the family, the children, the mother, the wife, builds upon. He's the groundwork. He's the foundation. He's the ground by which he absorbs the heavy responsibility and the heavy load that comes on the family. He is the foundation by which holds it up and also holds it together. And I saw that epitomized. He's not only just a protector, provider, he is also supposed to be a nurturer, take portion into that in bringing affirmation and confirmation to the children.
Larry, it's so interesting that you say that because, you know, I think society has done a lot to weaken the value of men and have told mothers that they can completely raise their child in the absence of a man without there being any true detriment. And though I think it is possible to raise children in the absence of father, there are going to be some issues because of his absence. And we need to be real and strong about that and understand that, that there are things that men bring to the table or should bring to the table that cannot be made available through just the efforts of a woman. Dee, how are you doing this evening? And what do you think about the statement that I just made?
I'm doing fine this evening, fellas. Happy Father's Day, James, and happy Father's Day, Larry.
How you doing there, sir?
James, I want to say real quick that I love the way that you opened up the show today. You mentioned how Father's Day give fathers the opportunity to recommit themselves to being a father, as opposed to being in a receiving position to receive accolades and appreciation for being a father. It gives us an opportunity to recommit to being a father. And I also like what you said when you mentioned that in your daughter's adult life gives you a true sense of commitment to being there for her in her adulthood. And I find that very interesting because when we are father to our kids, when they are children, it's more of a sense of responsibility that we have. And now that they are adults, it is good to know that we have an opportunity to recommit to our children, to be the guiding light for them, and to be the beacon of experience and wisdom for them in times such as these. Because as we all know, and we've been going over for all this year, times have changed and are steadily changing right before our eyes in our lifetime. And it has to be concerning and confusing for young adults that are paying attention. Mind you, there are a lot of them that are not paying attention. But for those who are paying attention, I'm sure they are filled with questions. So it's good for them to have someone, especially a father, to come to where they can express those questions and get an answer that's been given to us through experience and the wisdom of age.
And the truth is that men do not understand the value that they receive from being under the pressure that is needed to be a good father. You know, there takes a high volume of pressure to create perfection. And when you put yourself under the pressure that is needed to genuinely care for a family, it creates the kind of spirit within you that cannot be denied. And I just enjoy the fact, and I revel in the fact, that through my father and his works and my works and the blessing of my creator, it has created in me an opportunity and the ability to be a true blessing to my daughter and to engage her in the conversations that she needs to hear in order to keep propelling her forward. And that is the value that I bring to her life, that she knows and appreciates what a true man can be, and she knows what to look for. See, if there's not a man in your daughter's life who truly values her, then she may not look for the characteristics that are needed when she goes out there looking for a mate. And true men have to bring that to the table. How are you doing this evening, Kathy?
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Father's Day to you fathers.
Thank you much.
Kathy, did you show your husband a good Father's Day?
Well, I show him a good Father's Day, Husband Day, Friend Day, every day.
Oh, amen. Amen.
I fell for that one. I fell right into that one. I should have known that one was coming.
You did, sir. You did.
And I truly believe you're telling the truth, Kathy. I don't believe you're gloating at all. I believe that you did everything that you do on a regular basis. And when I listen to you talk, I recognize that you have a true respect and honor for your husband.
Yes, I do. I drove him around today. I bought him dinner today. So, yes, I did. I did everything I think that I should have done as a wife to show him that extra TLC, you know. But I honor him every day. I love him. I tell him how much, you know, I care about who he is as a man of God, and how I see him leading this family. So he is being honored every day. And even though he is a stepfather, I still honor him as a father because he is. He has stepped up and done some things, you know, for us that that their dad didn't do. So I honor him, and I believe in every aspect that I see possible to do. I try to be very mindful of certain things to make sure that he knows that he is a valuable part of our life and that we love him and that he is the person to lead this family.
And you know, that's what's so important. Kathy, when you say that about someone who takes over the stepfather role in the absence of the father, but the truth is that even with the presence of a father, a stepfather can be valuable. You know, the father can be, that term father can be played by a lot of different people. You know, I feel like my grandfathers were my father. They showed me a different aspect of what being a father is as a grandfather. Some of my coaches were fathers. When they tried to instill in me value and hard work and commitment. And so the term father can be played by the, many individuals, just as Larry said from the outset of the show. So, Audrey, a father can be a lot of different people, and women should not suggest that their sons or daughters need to live their entire lives in the absence of a father, because you can find fathers outside the person who was the sperm donor, can't you?
You absolutely can, and a happy, blessed Father's Day to all the fathers and fathers and role models, and that's exactly what you're speaking of. We get components of fathers in different ways, and I'm so glad that Kathy mentioned that. Showing and appreciating true men for who they are is not only set aside on today, which is a special time to just recognize, but it's even more important on a daily basis. And I think it's when it's needed most will definitely be beyond today. It's not just a one-day thing, and we're so grateful and thankful for the Lord establishing true men and the responsibilities that goes along with fatherhood. And I came on late, and I apologize if I'm repeating some things, but I did hear Dee say that as our children grow older, fathers have a different relationship with them, with their children. And I think that's so important because it's always continuing to evolve. Just as we plant seeds and we watch flowers grow, as we train up a child, you know, different parts of their life changes and we have to be there for them at a different level. And men are the one who teach and train men. And I'm just so thankful. And I give you thanks, James, for having the show today so that we can take an opportunity to really reflect and articulate our appreciation and the value that true men bring to not only our lives but the lives of others.
Yeah, and fathers and men who emulate fatherhood outside of the absence of being someone's biological father show men and women or children how men can truly act and behave. Though I truly believe men are not to be abused and asked to show their strength by not reacting, men do have an obligation not to be emotional and to just get caught up in their feelings. We have to be the rock and the foundation of our family, which tells us that we can't use every moment to react in a way that is out of control, because we have to be stable. We have to be that stable force that brings intellect in a hostile situation. Regina, what is your thoughts in relating to the foundation men bring to family?
Good afternoon, good evening, happy Father's Day. In response to fathers and foundations, I was blessed to have two very strong men in my life. I had a father and a stepfather. And oddly enough, when we were visiting with my stepfather today, and my daughter was saying she was in summer school, and he said, "Why? When is she ever going to get a break?" And I said, "Well, she has to go to school and she has to work." And I said, "I had to do it." And he said, "You did it because you wanted to do it. You didn't do it because you had to do it." And that was the type of home my stepfather raised me in. As long as I was making my grades, and I mean, he provided for us extremely well. And that was the financial side, as far as being a good, knowing how to save money and stuff. He didn't do as well with that. Mm-hmm. But then from my natural father, I got the entrepreneurial side of me. And he always gave me great tips and great wisdom when it came to being a go-getter as far as businesses were concerned. So that goes to show that when you have two men, two intelligent men who agree upon a goal, both of those men raised me, and they did, if I must say, a very good job of it and of getting along. They even talk to each other now. And that's something that I really appreciate, and that was a model for me in my life.
Well, I think it is people are more than capable of playing different father roles when they are called on, and they should be ready and prepared to step in the shoes of fatherhood when needed and when they're put in certain positions. Larry, you talked about how certain men stepped up and played the roles they needed to play in your life in the absence of a biological father. And it really assisted you in becoming the man that you are.
Yes, exactly. And that's the blessing of having a Heavenly Father who would, he said that I would put you in a place where I'll give you fathers for the fathers, and he would become a father to the fatherless, and that's in a way that he sends others who embodies that father figure to come in your life. And so to me that was very important because of the fact of having that sense of, again, that affirmation and confirmation, which brought a sense of significance and identity to my life. And the blessed hope is this, that there are many children that are living in single parent homes and where the mother is there. My mother was a hardworking woman who cared for us tremendously and genuinely. I mean, she would do whatever it takes to raise us, and it's not taking in a way anything from that. But the reality was there were certain aspects of roles that needed to the play that she could not provide. And it has been predetermined from the foundation of the world. The intent was always that there would be a mother and a father in the picture of raising children. And so that is the greater prototype of a true biblical understanding of how family was supposed to be balanced by having those two roles operating in the life of that child. That to me that's important. And so if you don't have that, in which we see statistically that there's an estimated about 24.7 million children, that's about 36%, 6.3% live absent of the presence of a father. And so when you start looking at these statistics, you see how important it is for men who are in our community to rise up and become community fathers for those children who are void of a voice, who is void of a model or a pattern that could exemplify true fatherhood. And because of that, there are many ills in society that is statistically proven as a result of fathers not being engaged in the lives of their children. So that it's been said, according to the National Center of Fathering, 72.2% of the United States population says that fatherlessness is the most significant family or social problem facing America. So in rectifying that, as I said, it's important that men in the community rise up, seeing those young men and young ladies that are living in those circumstances, and become those father figures to them. That's our responsibility. I believe that wholeheartedly. If we want to see the transformation of our communities and of the younger generation.
And it's important that fathers, despite what they've gone through or some of the pitfalls that they have, share some honest desires for the lives of their children. You know, you could have done some horrific things and then say to your children, listen, I want more for you than what I have gotten for myself. And these are the reasons I don't want you to follow in my footsteps. So there's always a role or a way to use your experiences to inspire the experiences of your children. Right, Dee?
Yeah, Dan, you know, that's absolutely right. There has been a folklore, or maybe even a fable, that speaks about the sins of the father, which goes on to say that the lifestyle of the father could very possibly be transcended to the into the lifestyle of his children, especially his sons. So when you brought that up about our attitude about wanting our children's lives to be more refined than ours were, there's a lot of truth to that. I want to speak to what Larry said about the attitude about men growing up to be good fathers. It seems to me that there's a trend, a new transition. There's a new trend of young men. They seem to have adopted the attitude of being more of a father figure. And I think that's attributed to the chaos that they have witnessed, not in the too distant past, of their friends and their uncles living in the 90s through some turbulent time during the crack era and the selling of drugs and things like that, where the father was preoccupied with other things, trying to make a quick dollar, and as a result of all of that, ended up in jail numerous times, if not doing a long stretch in prison itself. But I think Miss Kathy hit it on the head when she said that she's the type of woman and wife that holds her man up, in so many words. She holds her man up and give him the confidence to be a good man and a good father. And I think that's a great role for young girls to emulate. Once you have a true understanding of what a good man and a father is supposed to be, to encourage him to do the best that he can and do the best that he's supposed to do, and to be a respectful father, husband, and a follower of God. It is my understanding that women have a true respect for men if he has God in his life, if he has God the Father as his true teacher. So women have a better respect for a man if he's a God-led man. And so when young girls go and search for a man, that's the kind of man that she wants, and that's the kind of man that she's going to be looking for. So I think that we have a duty to prepare our young boys and our young men to get their lives together so they can make good husbands and in the long run become good fathers, and teach their boys and their children how, like you say, James, to be good citizens.
Kathy, how do we fight what seems to be a societal thing where women tend to not want to involve their ex-boyfriend or their ex-husband in the lives of their children? How do we get help them understand the detriment that is caused by not including these men or giving these men an opportunity to be fathers in their children's lives?
I'm sorry, James. Who was that question for?
It was for Kathy. Are you there, Kathy?
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. You said, how do we what, James?
How do we fight the societal pattern where women who don't allow their ex-boyfriends or their ex-husbands to be a valuable part of their son's or daughter's lives because of some internal feeling they may have?
Well, I think you just, you got to talk to them and you have to explain to them the importance of having that relationship between the two, because I recall at work and some of the mothers was denying the dads the opportunity to spend time and even see the child. And I told them that you're not hurting the dads. You're hurting the child because after a while, the child is going to be of age and they're going to have that opportunity to go anyway and get to know their dad. And then the dad is going to tell them it wasn't because I didn't want to, but it was because your mom, and you're going to put a damper in the relationship that you have with the child. And just to be an example, I know from being an example and allowing that communication to happen for my son, that it showed other people that it doesn't matter what happened between him and I, but that the important thing in this whole relationship is the relationship between the father and the son, the daughter and the father, so that they can learn to know each other, so that they can, learn to know each other, and my son can see what, you know, the values of a man, how a man is supposed to do this, and even my nieces with her dad, so that she can know how a man is supposed to treat a woman, how, you know, it's supposed to be done. So being an example and also explaining to the people the values of what the kids are missing out on.
Yeah, and it is, no matter how great a job a woman can do, there are still things that she can't do. And we need to be mindful of that. You know, I needed to go on the jobs with my dad and see how hard he worked. I needed to have his tutelage on how to be strong and how to be forceful and how to commit myself to a task. And some of those things, and some of the things I vividly remember about hanging around my dad were not exposed to me through my relationship with my mother. I mean, I learned a lot of things from my mother, a lot of positive things from my mother, but yet there are still some stories I tell that I learned because of my interaction with my father. So we can't dismiss the importance of the father. Audrey, and when we talk about the different men who can play a role in the lives of our son, speak about the kind of opportunities your son had with all of his uncles and men that were a part of his life that were outside of his just his father.
You're right. In addition to his father, stepfather, you're talking about uncles, you're talking about coaches, you're talking about teachers, you're talking about male figures who are friends of the family, males in the neighborhood, the workplace. So the network is there. You understand that it takes a village, yes. And someone said earlier about the quality of having certain characteristics in a male's life such that the female would know, you know, how to be treated in the long run and that type of thing. But You know, men have to be taught that. Young men have to be taught that from good, strong role models as males. But you're right. Just as in a relationship, you can't get everything that you need from that one person. It takes, you know, some of the interaction that you have in your day-to-day activities or day-to-day life that you bring back to your spouse to talk about and build on. So with that, yes, it's a networking, it's an umbrella, it's an extension of opportunity that's out there to provide the necessary support.
And Larry, we as men, I can tell you that I've been retired for nearly 2 years, and the other day I sought to speak to a young man who was probably half my age and who had been to prison, but I just needed to talk to him as a man and to be a figure in his life to share with him the importance of committing himself to not going back down that road again. And when men have an opportunity to talk to other men, we really have to share with them what they bring to the table and what they need to be doing in order to enhance their lives so that they don't have those same pitfalls that they may have had in the past or won't have them at all. And so we as good, godly men should look to be the father of even grown men if we can make a difference in their lives, right?
Yes, sir. In fact, Ishay, I remember the time that we used to host what we called the Father-Son March. There were over 500 to 1,000 men that would march through the from Frontline Outreach through the Orange Center Boulevard and all the way through Ivy Lane, promoting the idea of the importance of fatherhood. And literally, as we were with the sons of other men, and we didn't know, they would just come and followed in the group. The fathers would bring their sons, and we'll bring other young boys into this march. And then we would go through there and, just declaring to other fathers the need of their participation in the life of their children. And then we would end up in a church where we would then sit down and do surveys. And in the surveys that we had given out, we were asking for those individuals to put on there who would desire a father figure in their life. Now, you would have thought that the majority would have been the young boys. But when we got the information back from the survey, the majority of many of the men were stating the fact that they themselves were looking for father figures, which began to cause me to rethink in many ways our approach, even into impacting our community as it relates to the issue of fatherhood, because the realization became that there were a lot of men. How can they raise young men to become men when they themselves have father wounds, that they've been hurt, that they've been had distortion of a father figure and had the void of a father pattern in their lives? And so we had to go back, and so we started having actual sit-downs and support systems for men to first, before they began to mentor young boys, that they themselves would be healed of their own father wounds so that they don't pass on the same hurt or the same distorted view of fatherhood themselves. So I believe wholeheartedly that there are a lot of men that sit in the pews of congregations, that sit in the in our communities that are out there who want to be, in many cases, a true father to their children, but just don't know how because they lack knowledge and a pattern or a model how to do that. And so what they're doing to the best of their ability are what they've learned of what they think a true father is. And I remember I used to think my image of a father came when I used to go to the movies, and I'm dating my age. I used to look at Superfly, Superfly, as being a image of a father, because when you're void of an image, then you begin to create your own, and you can get it from a lot of the TV shows or entertainers. They then become that image to you that you truly believe that's what a true father is. Until somebody gives you the true essence of what a true father is and supposed to be. So I believe that there are a lot of men right now who don't know how to raise boys to become men. And there needs to be a sincere search in their hearts of saying, you know something, I really don't know how to do this. And I need somebody to help me or to teach me how to raise my children to be as a father.
Regina, working with young kids like you do, why is it a detriment for society to stereotype some men as just sperm donors and not give children, young children, the benefit of a father figure?
That's a great question, James. Now, restate it again. I want to make sure I answer it correctly.
Society has, in a lot of ways, suggested that men are just pure sperm donors and devalued their role to young children. And why shouldn't children, why do children, young children that you work with, have the true benefit of a role model?
Okay. I can say unequivocally that in our school where I work, we value the father's role in the child's life. So often we get angry mothers coming through and saying, I don't want him to come to this school. Or I don't want him to. But the truth is, if that father's name is on the birth certificate, he has a right to come and visit with his child and to have access to his child's records. And unless we get something from the court, something court ordered, then we welcome the fathers into the school. I've seen one situation where I don't know what, I mean, the mother was so angry, but this father loved his two children, loved them. And at one point, his entire family came from another state to visit with these children whom they have never met. It was the most beautiful sight. Now I had to act as a watch out person, because had she come and caught the situation going on, although it was legal, she would have raised so much sand and been so disturbing to the children. But we made sure that that interaction happened, and it is so unfair. It is so unfair. So we make sure that the fathers play a role in any type of agitation or anything that's going on between the mother and the father. They have to handle it off of school property.
Yeah, it is so important that we escalate or lift the father's role to the same height as the mother, and so that they don't perceive that somehow the father is on the bench. How do we make sure that happens?
Well, in answering that, I think what I want to do is piggyback on what Larry said, you know, and I can attribute it to my own life. You know, it wasn't until, and most of you all know my story, it wasn't until I went through drug rehab, and I had to recondition the way I lived and my thinking about life. And it came to me that I had a misconception of what a man is. I'm going to say that again. I had a misconception of what a man really is because of the way it was portrayed to me through life and through movies and television. You know, James, you made a point about how we were seemed to have been misdirected in our efforts to be a good man or be a good father. And a lot of that was through our intake of the realization of Hollywood. And what I'm saying is back, like Larry said, back in the Superfly days, I call it back during the days of pimpology. And in that, a lot of guys, a lot of men grew up with that mentality. My daddy had that mentality. Not that he wanted to be a pimp, but he had the mentality. What I perceive a man to be was a man was to a person who was measured by how many women he could have. Like that. A man was measured by how many women he had or could have or could get. And so that's the misconception I'm talking about. And so for years now, you talked about the detriment that probability could have had in our lives. Oh, it was detrimental because that's why so many women would have a fatherless home because of the way they were brought up, because of the way the conception that it was that they gathered on what a man is. This is a misconception. So I think now there's a shift in our mentality. And I think that the times that we're living in under the administration and the movement that's going on, I think that we should pay a lot more attention on making sure that our young men know their role in life, that there is no more reason to be misled. We've been through that. We've been through that for the past 40 years. And so there is no excuse on our part. Because we have shows like this, now there's not a lot we can do in a lot of cases, but what we can do is we meet one, we can teach one. And I think that's our role in life from here on out. Thank you.
I want to pose another question to you guys, and I want us to go on break. And I want to know what you think of this situation. I'm going to use my personal life to carry on the conversation after break. Well, my daughter was born when I was 16 years of age, and she is the only child that I have. And I had some very unique situations with my daughter. I know that most of you know that when men, young men, raised their or were became fathers, in most cases, the child didn't take on the father's name. Well, I really insisted that my daughter have my name. And I was more than my parents trained me to, you know, they had to push me into the responsibility. I don't want you to think that At 16, I just ran toward this responsibility with open arms. But because of their background and their commitment to me, they pushed me to be committed to my daughter. And I continued to make sure that I knew I had to go to college, I had to graduate, because I had someone who was dependent on me. And my daughter came to visit me while I was in college, and I played an aspect in her life the whole entire time that I was growing up. But one of the things that she said to me that really hurt my feelings, and this is the core of what I want to talk to you guys about and get your opinion about. When I tell her or get upset at her and say, listen, I've been a good father to you. I've always been here for you, and I've always, when you called me, I was always there. I've gotten out of my bed and came and picked you up after game. You could always depend on me. And so I should be, get a lot of kudos. And she would say to me, you don't get no kudos for doing what you were supposed to do. And no matter that you do it better than other men do, it was what you were supposed to do. And to this day, I still have to fight to get my kudos. And so when we come back from break, I want to have your honest opinion about the way she thought of it was right, or the way I thought of it was correct, in terms of me going beyond what I thought most men could do, should do. And she thought I did what most fathers were supposed to do. And so when we get back, we'll have that discussion.
Hallelujah.
It is my desire to create a legacy for myself and for my family. So I decided to add Larry Curry to my success team and to my circle of life. He's a part of my first string. It is his job to turn my nickels into dimes and my sweat into equity. Larry has shown me that he has the competency, integrity, and the focus to find a positive direction for my money, and consequently, that can brighten my future endeavors. So my trust in him and his financial insight has led me to introduce you to him. If you are concerned about your financial future and have not seen real growth in the seeds you have planted, I encourage you to add Larry Curry to your success team. Please contact him at 407-800-4154 so that your financial journey to success can begin.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflections, brought to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock West Coast Time. This is a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear. All right, Larry, I'm going to start with you. My daughter says that was what I was supposed to do, that I don't get no extra kudos for being a good father and going to her games and getting out of my bed and going to pick her up. What are your thoughts about this battle between looking at the same situation in different ways?
Well, the only thing that I could say in giving a biblical premise for this, why it is true that it is God have granted that responsibility to parents to train up a child in the way that they should go. And it is, we are to assume that responsibility, but the balance and the other side of that is found in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and 2nd verse, where it says that the children are to honor their father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words, that means to esteem, to lift that person up, to give accolades to, and to deem that person as worthy. So why it is true is their responsibility. It's the responsibility of the child in looking at the first commandment of promise, if they will promise in their lives, this is what God commands that they're to do, is to honor, give respect, to give accolades, to esteem, and to give a sense of worthiness to their parents, and especially in this time as you speak of father. So that's kind of just gives a clear definition of the importance of a child recognizing the value that God placed on parents and fathers in this case of the work that they do.
Well, Larry, I am going to definitely make sure she hears this segment of this tape because she needs to know that. Dee, what is your thought about this battle, ongoing battle my daughter and I have?
Well, I was going to pass and let the ladies answer that. But Larry, again, answered it best. Your daughter is right in one respect, in the first respect of the situation. I want to add that we as men, as tough of as the exterior that we have, we do require encouragement. We do require recognition in order for us to continue to go along the path that we know is the right path. All right. But when Larry also mentioned the fact and the truth that our children's first responsibility in life is to honor our parents, our fathers and our mothers with due respect, and not to never forget their place as being a child or being the offspring of the parent. And so, you know, your daughter sounds like a strong-willed young lady, and I have to commend her for that. You know, but she kind of need to turn it down a little bit and get the old man some slack.
I know that. Give me my kudos.
And knowing that the brother doing the best he can with what he got to work with. So, yeah. Yeah, but have her tune into the show. That's right. So have her tune into the show, man. She might pick up a few pointers here and there.
Okay. Kathy, is it any problem with me wanting to be the number one dad and get my kudos?
No, I don't think so. But, I mean, it's a way that maybe it's the way that you're saying it, maybe it's the way that she's receiving it from you. But I think it should be an honor for her. She should see it as an honor for her to give you kudos as a father, you know, because there are a lot of young people out there that do not have their dads, and growing up with their dad in their lives. Like I was talking to my nephew the other day, he was like, "Auntie, who am I going to call now when I have that tough decision? And I need to hear that voice to tell me, do it this way or do it that way." So I believe that she should honor you in that way and let you know how she appreciates you and let you know how much she loves you, because I believe that you are a good dad. I believe that you are showing her how a father should be, what, you know, teaching your daughter what a husband should look like, what a man in her life should look like, the respect that should be given to a young lady. So maybe right now she's looking at some other things. I don't know what it is, and I can't say. But, yeah, have her to tune in. Maybe she'll, you know, the Holy Spirit will move on her after she hears some of the words that were said, some of the scriptures that were read and talked about, because you are supposed to honor your mother and father. And it is an honor when you still have your parents here, because you can just let them know how much you appreciate them and how much they did for you during that time of you growing up, because a lot of kids, again, did not have or do not have their parents and can actually tell them that they love them and thank them for what they did.
All right. Andre, what are your thoughts about me wanting my kudos and my daughter seeing to being a little unwilling to suggest that I'm a number one dad?
Well, I think she's giving you kudos. You do deserve kudos, and you may not necessarily be receiving it in the manner in which you're requesting or you're desiring, but I think I received when she made the statement that, you know, you're doing what was expected of a father. And I think she's saying that statement because of the fact that you said earlier that it was very important to you that you let her know the qualities of a good, true man. And, you know, while she is an adult, you know, she's still learning. And you are to be honored, and the extra steps that you've taken was out of love for her. And as she continued to grow and develop and mature, like all of us, believe you me, I cherish my father, and you're talking about a daddy's girl. But when I reflect back, it's so many times that I had wished I would have just gained even more insight from him and did more. My point of it is that while I appreciated him and I expressed to him my appreciation to him, maybe not as often as I could have, should have, would have. I think we all feel that we could have done better in any time, whether we're parenting or the child. But I think as a time goes on, she'll appreciate it more. And if indeed she was to ever get married and have a child, she would truly appreciate it more, because I tell you what, my son now calls me, and a lot of things we just chuckle and laugh about, that he now have a greater appreciation for when I was parenting him. So you deserve honor and respect. That is the first commandment with promise. I think she's given you that, but maybe not, again, at the level and the manner in which you would like to receive it. But by her making that statement, I think it's validation to you as her father that you are teaching the qualities that she suspected. And I think she's saying that if indeed she had a child, that she would expect for her husband as the father to do those things that you're doing. So it kind of goes both ways. I do know that your daughter loves you. She values you. She appreciates you, at least from what I can hear of how you guys talk and some of the things you've shared on the show. And in return, I also know that you put forth an extra effort to demonstrate your love, and it's important to you that she knows that you're always there for her. And what a great honor that is for her to have, that a lot of people do not have.
You are so right. Regina, what are your thoughts about this epic battle that I'm having with my daughter in terms of being labeled the number one dad?
I can feel what your daughter's saying. And in my opinion, what she is saying is that children don't ask to come into this world. So by you stepping up to the plate, you did what you were supposed to do. So she should not have to give you kudos for you doing what you were supposed to do. Now, in addition to that, what she has not internalized yet, and that's because she doesn't have any children, is that it is so easy to just walk away from responsibility. And the fact that you accepted that responsibility, even though she did not ask to be here, by the mere fact that you did that, you deserve kudos. But it takes, and I tell people, I was a good teacher until I became a mother, then I became a fantastic teacher. It's going to take her being in that situation with having a child and the father possibly walking away to understand the grand role that you played by staying there. So I understand what she's saying, but it just takes her actually being in the situation to understand how you did so much.
And, guys, I have to share with you, you know, one of the reasons why we should make sure we tell young boys that it's not a good thing to have children so young, because you have to really fight to have the role that you want to when your child is 16. And I'm sure, I mean, when the father is 16 and the mother is 16, and I'm sure mothers have the same battle too. And one of the battles is you always have to fight to be the adult, because the child so easily wants to give that role to the grandmother. And I had to fight for the role as a father. And I used to tell my daughter, she can either call me Daddy or she can call me Mr. Deshay. You know, because I saw so many young people calling their young fathers and young mothers by their first name. And so I set the ground rules real early. Now, my name can be Mr. Deshay, or it can be Daddy, but this show ain't going to be James. And so to this day, she calls me Daddy, and I really appreciate that. But I was on the Internet today, and a man asked me, was I a part of the Jeter family reunion? And I said I was. My mother was Jerry Lee Deshay. And then he asked me, is Jamie Deshay your sister, or your, you know, who is Jamie to you? Is that your sister? And I'm sitting there saying, I guess because we're so close in age, people make the assumption that she's my daughter since she's 40 and I'm 57. But I quickly had to tell him, no, she is my daughter. And I still pay the cost to be the boss, you know. So I let people know quite quickly, Larry, that I still pay the cost to be the boss. When she come and need favor, I extend to her favor as a father, not as a brother. And so that's real important to me. So, guys, we are getting toward the end of the show. I want to continue to thank you all for y'all's support. We had a great show today talking about fatherhood. Larry, do you have a final word? Regina, what is your final word for this evening?
Happy Father's Day, and thank you all for all that you do, because you all are some dynamic fathers.
All right. Kathy, your final word for today?
Thinking about fathers and the word father, I mean, I'm talking about the ultimate father and then a father. And being a representative of the father is an awesome thing. And I believe that your daughter eyes will be open to see that you are truly an awesome father.
All right. Larry, are you there? Okay, I guess Larry took off on me. But guys, I just want to thank you. And Cassie, didn't I do a great job with the music today?
Well, I only heard one gospel song.
Well, actually, we only had two breaks, Kathy, because we talked the whole time today. So that was the reason you only heard one gospel song.
Okay.
But I'm on the job, Kathy.
Okay. Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
You can
all right, everybody. We look at hey, I try to do everything I can to make sure I don't get beat up on this show. You know what I'm saying?
I do, sir. I do.
So, D,
James, you don't get beat up. You don't get beat up.
Hey, but I could if I don't live. See you guys tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time.
Your children, and don't let them fall by the side of the road, and teach them to love one another, that heaven might find a place in their hearts. Jesus is love. He won't let you down, and I know He forever. My heart.
walk on through temptation, 'cause he's love and his wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth and his word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts to be thankful and pray that Jesus.